Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitana rajim. That is, I seek protection with God from shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahi rahman rahim. And that is with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM radio listening audience, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Course Learning Lab featuring your hosts, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my esteemed pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. Dear listeners, this is a learning lab, and we hope you are in the learning mode because you have tuned in to a learning lab that is focused on examining sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's, don'ts, and prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. While we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, we ask you to do us a favor and please share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. And to do that, ladies and gentlemen, it's a simple thing. All you need to do is send a text, make a post, invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, my dear beloved listeners, it is my esteemed pleasure to present my co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to our very distinguished radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's aired here on IWDM Radio each and every Thursday night. And Quran and I would like to welcome all of our listeners and want to welcome our new listeners. And we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab, and we ask that you do bring it to the lab. Any questions or comments that's pertaining to what is the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage, we'd like for you to bring it to the lab. And we also want you to know that this learning lab has a foundation. Yes, it has three sources that we use as a foundation, the first being Al-Quran. That is the final revelation for all of humanity. And the second source that we use as a foundation is the life example of the prophet in living the Quran. And last but not least, it is a tafsir. That means the clear explanation by our scholarly leader and teacher, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. Those three sources that we use form the foundation for disseminating information and education here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. For those who've been with us for a little while now, you know that we have been embarking on what is called the True Love Recipe, the True Love Recipe. And those that know about recipes, they know that they're ingredients in a recipe. But this is not just any type of love recipe. We titled it the True Love Recipe. It's my personal recipe that I'm sharing with you, and we have been doing this for at least 6 weeks or better, and all the ingredients that we are calling qualities and characteristics, they are organic, they are natural ingredients. We don't have any artificial nor coloring in this recipe, and the only preservatives or actually natural preservatives designed to sustain and maintain a healthy, harmonious relationship, and thus that constitutes true love. And we're doing it from a very unique way. We're using the English alphabet because, as Imam Muhammad said to us many years ago, that if you have anything worth saying, you should be able to put it in a universal language. And when I was contemplating this, I remember what my teacher said, put in a universal language so all can understand it. We don't use any Islamic terminology, but you'll find that many of the qualities and characteristics, you'll be able to find them in the Quran, and we support much of these qualities and characteristics with the Quran, the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the tafsir of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. And in conjunction with that, Quran, and I thought it would be a great idea to summon couples, married couples, some that are seniors, been married for long, long periods of time, and some young, as young as 17 years of age, having graduated from the Warithuddin Muhammad High School and actually got married, and many unique situations that for some it would have been a roadblock for them perhaps wanting to marry again, but they have brought their unique experience, their marriage, and exposed this to our regular listening audience in terms of the narrative that they have. So we are really, really thankful and grateful to those who have come on and shared their narrative, their marriage narrative with us and all. And we hope that this becomes an inspiration and a motivation for everyone. And despite what have the situation and circumstances you may have experienced, that still the desire, the fire, the desire was still there. And Allah bless them to find that mate of like nature. So with that being said, you know, it is customary and traditional here as we're going into our eighth year for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Labs, going all the way back to the sister station, AM 360 in the year 2015. October 13th is our anniversary for 8 years. And I'm so elated, you know, that we're now on IWDM Radio and to have my very distinguished, esteemed host here, Fran Shakir, who does an excellent job in the overview. Just to kind of catch you up, if in fact that you missed last week, you really missed a lot of great information. So with that being said, it's always good to hear your voice, Fran Shakir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah. It's always good to hear yours as well and to just share this platform with you. And to again, to our radio listening audience, we are grateful to have you joining us for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And as Brother Mark said, we normally do an overview of what we cover just so that you can be caught up and ready for the next program. And inshallah, we're going to do that tonight. So last week, alhamdulillah, we were focused on F5. And although we did not get to all five of the F's, we still had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful program because we had as our guest, Imam Dr. Colonel Khalid Shabazz and his wife, Rhonda Wright Shabazz. And they had an interesting story. Just from the name Colonel, you can surmise that he is in the military. And so they have a military marriage where they have traveled all over the world. And so it's a marriage where they have to pick up and go a lot. But the two of them met as young people in college. And so she called herself, Sister Rhonda called herself a country girl and a cheerleader. And he was an athlete. And so when they met one another in college, they were being college students. And one thing Dr. Khalid talked about was the trauma that brought him to where he was as a young man. And I thought that was very interesting because so many of us do experience trauma, but to admit it and acknowledge it and talk about it is an important thing as well. And that conversation also guided a lot of the conversation that we had when we started talking about marriage itself. So he talked about the fact that he was an alcoholic because of the trauma that he experienced in his childhood. And then as a colonel, how even the thing that really attracted him to Sister Rhonda was her caring heart and how she looked out for him when some of his friends did not even look out for him when they were at a party. And so he is the one who chose Islam as his way of life, and Rhonda soon followed, but it came later. She was there to support him along the way, and she shared that she stood behind him and never complained, and that was one of the beauties that he loved about her, that she never complained in the face of so much that she could have complained about. This couple had so much wrapped up in their joy and their resiliency and their ability to really be honest and genuine with one another and with us as an audience. And so I really, really, really encourage you to go and listen to what they had to share because it was so much. I couldn't write it all down because it was so much. But I think the most important thing is that he said as they changed, she said that as they changed, as a couple, they changed. And that was the week before we talked about evolution. As they changed as a couple, then the individuals, they as individuals also changed. And so they talk about how, you know, when they were in their 20s, they were a whole totally different people than they were in their 40s and 50s as they are now. And so they said they feel blessed from the experiences that they had as they struggled through those experiences. But Dr. Khalid and his wife share some great pearls when it came to the tools that we need to survive inside of marriage. Sister Rhonda said that she finds no difficulty in obeying her husband, and that's a respectful way that she said that. It's not like a servant to her husband, but her obedience is because she loves Allah and she can obey Allah. And so she said that her husband sets the tone for the family, and she trusts his leadership. And so when he makes decisions, she's there to support him because of that trust that she has for him. And she said that if he was going to try something, then she was going to be there for him. And we also got into even the subject of polygyny because she said she's open to him having a polygynous relationship. And he said he's not interested in a polygynous relationship because of the trauma he has been through. And he said that too many of us enter into the polygynous marriage because we can, and instead of entering into the relationship looking out for the ones they love. And that was important to him, to look out for the members of his family. And he said because his daughter was one who had a bitter taste in her mouth for that whole idea, he wouldn't do that to her even though his wife had said yes. But he said there's so much behind that when we start making those kinds of decisions. And she talked about the fact that there are so many serial marriages and serial divorces in our community, and we have to go for healthy marriages, and we have to believe that we can have healthier marriages. And when we looked at the true love list, only got to foundational. And as a part of the F5, so inshallah, we'll get to the other four of the F5. But when we looked at foundation, if the foundation is weak, is what most of them shared, is whatever you build upon it is most likely going to fall. So we have to build strong foundations in our marriages. And the foundation of being affirmative, the foundation of acknowledging, the foundation of appreciating, and the foundation of love for Allah and love for what Allah has prescribed for us as a part of our religion. And then on the final note, what they said inspired me to remember Allah's words in Surah 9, Ayat 109, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, which then is best? He that lays his foundation on piety to Allah and his good pleasure, or he that lays his foundation on an undermined sand cliff, ready to crumble to pieces, and it does crumble to pieces with him into the fire of hell. And Allah does not guide people that do wrong. Alhamdulillah, sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah the Mighty has spoken. And I'm going to pause there, and I highly, highly, highly recommend that you go and listen to this one. This one is definitely one to listen to in the archives, because it's so many jewels in that particular program. So alhamdulillah, that's all I have for now, Mark.
I want to say alhamdulillah, and for those who know what that means, it simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. And I want to just commend Quran and Shakir once again for excellent, excellent, very substantive overview. And she's correct. I echo everything that she says. And most certainly, you want to go back into the archives and listen to it in its totality, because I'm quite sure she might have ran out of paper and if she had to write everything down. Because it was a wonderful marriage narrative that the Shabazz had, and I think that those who listen in can bear witness that they were dropping some gems along the way that actually could and would help others that's aspiring to be in the sacred institution of marriage, and actually learning something in terms of true love. You know, I finally got this bell. For those of you that said, you remember me saying that if one of the true love recipe qualities or characteristic is said even inadvertently, you will hear this bell. And the bell was ringing last week with Colonel Shabazz and his wife because they were really giving some excellent information, a lot of food for thought. So please go back to the archives and do that. Our guest tonight will be with us in a few minutes. They had a previous appointment, but we're looking at in about maybe another 10 minutes or less. And so, you know, Quran, I think this gives a little time. You know, we got to foundational, and they gave some insight in terms of how they saw foundational. We want to make sure that everybody knows where we at in the true love recipe. And it is F5, as Quran said. The first one was foundational. That's F1, foundational in the true love recipe. Number two is faithful. That's very important, faithful. Would that be in your true love recipe? Number three, forgiveness. So please, you know, you should have your notebook and you should have your pen. Forgiveness. Number four is friendship. With friendship being the true love recipe for you. And number five is fun. And we're going to have some, inshallah, if we, therefore, we won't rush it. We'll just let this kind of unfold as it will unfold. you know, with a very distinguished, esteemed couple. And we'll get as far as we can get. And we say, inshallah, God willing, we'll have next week, because we want you to know, and I want you to know that you also, I guess, are here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and we want to see what it is that you think about it. You know, Quran, last week was so informational and educational. You know, it was just a joy for me just to sit back and listen to the Shabazzes in terms of them sharing with us their marriage narrative, but some of the wisdom and all that they gave. It didn't even give you an opportunity to ask Quran, we always love your insight and wisdom, foundational. You didn't get an opportunity to say anything really and personally about that, but would that be an ingredient in your true love recipe? How important it is, but if it wouldn't be in your true love recipe, or how would it look if you didn't have anything foundational in the true love recipe, if that was left, that ingredient was left out, correct?
Alhamdulillah, most definitely having a strong foundation. And, you know, that ayat that we read, 9:109, I thought was so appropriate for that conversation about foundational, because when we start looking at building, and what you're doing in a marriage is building, and every building has a foundation. So you definitely will have that in that true love. And, you know, we use love very tightly, understanding that this love is love that comes from Allah. That affection that Allah gives to you is very different from the infatuation that we may find in the world. And so the foundation then for true love would definitely be having Allah, number one. That's a strong foundation when you have Allah. And when you have, when I just, alhamdulillah. And when I this week talked to a couple and was sharing with them the importance of putting Allah first, and that marriage belongs to Allah. That's a foundation that you have to have. Build your marriage on that foundation, that that marriage belongs to Allah. It is not yours. So whatever you go through in that marriage, Allah knows what you need, and He exposes you to the experiences that you need to groom and grow yourself to be the person Allah wants you to be. So, yes, foundation would definitely be there. And if it's not there, then it's going to be just like that ayah said. That relationship is bound to crumble. It is going to crumble. Absolutely. And that's what Allah tells us in His book, that if you don't have that strong foundation built on piety, then it's going to crumble. That's the promise. And the promise of Allah is true.
Yes, alhamdulillah. No, I agree with you 100%. You know, and you know, and just thinking about foundational and when that came to me to put that in the true love recipe, you know, when we enter into the fold of Al-Islam, we take what is called the Shahadatain, whereas that we're making a declaration. And I call it the Declaration of Liberation because it actually frees the human being from worshiping and serving just anybody, anything. But now they have enough information, the five senses, as Imam Muhammad has said, to be able to bear witness that there is no God but one God, Allah alone, that He doesn't have partners nor associates, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran, the final revelation to all of humanity, was revealed to, and he's the seal of the prophets, and he's God's servant and messenger. And, you know, this is so very, very important to not only know who God is, but know man's role in relationship to that God. And so Prophet Muhammad exemplifies that. And I think, if you know, when we look at that becomes the beginning in terms of the verbalization of that, in terms of taking the Shahadatain, you know, and witness, you know, that there is no God, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad bin Rasulullah. Is that there is no God, no one that's worthy of to be served or worship, except for one God. That has to evolve from just verbalization to application. From verbalization to application, that has to be the foundation for the individual. That has to be the foundation for marriage, for the sacred institution of marriage. That has to be the foundation for family life. That really has to be the foundation for community life, and it really has to be the foundation for human society. It has to be built on that. And that's solid ground. That's really solid ground, because this is what it is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said to us, that we can and we would never go wrong. We would never go wrong with God's word. We never would go wrong with him demonstrating and actually applying God's word in his life. And I'm saying it that way for a reason, so we understand that that has to be foundational. And Allah does not leave anything out in the Quran, not even in, when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage, but also in terms of the parameters that he set for the sacred institution, in terms of how it is that true love should actually grow and to develop, as you so eloquently articulated, in terms of that is a natural process for love to grow. But it's true love, and God says he will put that in between the hearts of the two. You understand? When you find the right mate, it naturally will happen. And it will be not only love, but mercy will accompany that. This is so very important when we talk about foundational. And as you articulated, that any time you're building something, it's so very important that you have a strong foundation. And nobody can think or should think that they can build anything and they don't have a strong foundation. It's very, very important. And you have to really think and believe that. So I'm thinking that we are right at the bottom of the hour there. If so, I'm going to ask a very distinguished, esteemed guest, which is Prince Patricia Muhammad from the beautiful state up there in New Jersey, press 1 so that Quran Shakir can see you in the studio, and we want to bring you on. 609 there, press 1. And so, okay. So we want, so I want to extend the greetings. Before I do that, I just want to just say a little something about this couple. They are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful couple. And I so appreciate them so very well. You know, even accepting my invitation on short notice. But I know so much about, you know, their relationship. And it's so unique, even in the proposal and all. Both of them are seniors in our community. They are pioneers in our community, with Prince Muhammad coming into the Nation of Islam in the year 1969. Patricia Muhammad coming into the community in 1974, just a year before the transitioning. And they both excellent community members, working hard in their community, beautiful, beautiful personalities. Want to say that I had the honor of listening to Sister Patricia Muhammad on Muslim Women in Action Single Line. She was actually the facilitator for that for a few years, and all. And And when I learned about it, I always the opportunity I had to get on early because she gives one of the best recitations of Al-Fatiha, just a beautiful, beautiful voice that she has in her recitation of Al-Fatiha. And they have a proposal that has been recorded going all the way back to the year 2014, April the 2nd, 2014, and the creative ability that Brother Prince have, and we're going to ask him about that name, Prince, about Prince, because he gave a Prince-like proposal to his queen at that time, Sister Patricia Muhammad, and they were actually married that year on May 1st, the year 2014. I wanted to be a part of that, but I don't think it's going to be so very audible. So what I'm going to do for our radio listening audience, I'm going to give you, before we sign off today, I'm going to give you that number for the Muslim Women in Action singles line that was going on at that time, and I'm going to give you the passcode, and I'm going to give you the number so that you can listen to it and witness it for yourself. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce a very distinguished esteemed couple tonight to join us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, my good brother and friend, and Prince and Patricia Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam, my brother Rock Shaheed, okay, who still holds the line.
Alhamdulillah.
Bring people together, okay, to keep the perpetuation of Allah's creation moving forward.
Alhamdulillah. It seemed like we're hearing some, I don't know, Quran. It seemed like we're hearing some background. So you all, if you're on speakerphone.
Is that better?
It's a little bit better. Yeah, it's a little bit better. So I just think all mics closed. Okay, it's an honor to have you, Prince, and Patricia Muhammad with us. And what we've been doing for at least a month and a half, or maybe a little bit better, is having couples like yourself on and giving them the opportunity to share their marriage narrative with a community. So since it's your first time on, what I'm going to do is give both of you an opportunity to introduce yourself. Take 3 to 5 minutes, if you will, and we're going to try to make the most out of the time. I'd like to maximize the minimum, which is time and all. And I know you had a very busy day, and so however long you can stay with us, Karan and I, we really appreciate it. So it's always sisters first, ladies first, here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And I want to welcome my beloved sister Patricia Muhammad. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. And so, Sister Patricia Muhammad, it's an honor to have you on here on IWDM Radio and the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And take 3 to 5 minutes, if you will. Who is Patricia Muhammad? I know you're so well known there on the East Coast. But
yes.
Talk to us about who you are first, and we'll get into how you two met and what transpired after that. Welcome again.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I, as you mentioned, I came into the community at the end of 1974, and, you know, I was blessed to make the last Savior's Day. Well, not the last Savior's Day, but the Savior's Day when our Imam Walter Dean Muhammad was received as the new leader. So that was very exciting. I remember it like it was yesterday. But, you know, I'm a semi-retired social worker. Right now I work part-time with a Muslim African-American female lawyer, and I'm so honored to be able to give whatever skills Allah has blessed me with to help her in her practice. So we'll let you know if you can all make a dua for us that her practice will thrive and be very successful.
Go ahead.
And that's about it. Well, as far as when we first met, we met at New Medina, and at the time, we both, you know, had our heads somewhere else, but we were cordial to one another. But then again, when we met back in our back up in Jersey, we connected, and a friend of ours, that's a mutual friend of both of us, introduced us. And after that, this is history. So I'll just let Prince take it from
there. Yeah, we can stop it right there, and we'll give Prince Muhammad an opportunity. 3 to 5 minutes, Prince. Just let our radio listen audience know something about who you are. And in particular, I want to know, how did you get that name, Prince? Welcome, Prince Muhammad, to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Shukran. Okay, my mother named me Prince, okay, and just for an update, okay, I came into the Nation of Islam in 1964, and there was a turbulence taking place in the nation at that point in time, okay, shortly after, of course, Brother Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz was making another transition, another direction. All right, so 1964, around that period of time, I had connected and with the turbulence. All right, I was out of Malcolm Shabazz, okay, at that time, okay, in 116th Street. All right. And it was like a little struggle for me to buckle down, okay, and finally get into the Nation of Islam, which I have no regrets and no regrets whatsoever about that, okay. And from there, okay, I was there for a while, okay, until we opened up the Masjid, okay, in Brooklyn. Masjid was 7C, okay, at that time, okay, in Brooklyn. And there I settled down, okay, because I wound up working in the area. So there was that was the history of that part, okay, of coming into the nation. And, you know, the nation was very active and very busy, okay? You had to do some work then as a soldier, all right? Then later on, up the line, okay, after my first wife, okay, may Allah had landed and grant her paradise, okay, Sister Safia Muhammad had passed away, all right? And I made a move, okay, to Jersey, all right? And when I made that move to Jersey, okay, that was because I had remarried. Alhamdulillah, becoming a transplant there, okay, from New York was quite a change for me, but praise be to Allah. And the rest is history until I met this outstanding, beautiful sister, okay, through our common friend, Sister Sherry, who ran it, okay, had introduced us, okay, and we connected on a boat ride, and from there we kept sailing after Medina. So thank you so much, and I want to thank the listening audience.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. We're gonna try. Yeah, thank you so much, Prince. You know, we're gonna continue. I'm trying to see what is giving the echo sound. If you have your phone, up high, then you might want to turn it down where it's not on speaker, because it may be it's giving a reverberation.
Well, we heard it when we came in.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Quran. I think they said they heard it when it came in. try muting your phone and see if that will help some in terms of bringing about some clarity, if you would.
Yeah,
Graham,
my phone has been on mute, so I just
unmuted. Oh, it has?
It.
Okay, so yeah. Oh, okay. So I'm just trying to locate it. Okay, so we'll just do the best we can because it's quite a bit of noise in the background there. And I know sometimes when it's on high volume on speaker, sometimes it can have that problem. So
we don't have our speaker on.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. So we're going to move forward here. So we're going to come back to you, my
mm-hmm.
sister, Patricia Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
How you kind of indicated how you met and everything, and you were the facilitator of the singles line. What do you call singles line at that time?
Yes,
it was
mm-hmm.
Muslim Women in Action singles line, and I'm aware of the fact that the president and vice president or
mm-hmm.
chair and co-chair actually are listening in tonight and everything.
Oh, absolutely not.
But you
mm-hmm.
were the facilitator, and as I recall, this was every Wednesday night
mm-hmm.
for a little while. And
yes,
and you did an excellent job there. So why don't you start from there with our radio listening audience,
mm-hmm.
a little background on that. And then I'll turn it over to Prince Muhammad.
Okay.
So when he started to listen in. So we'll start with you,
yes.
Mr. Patricia. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was just, I had gone to several singles socials, coming from a large city. I'm born and raised in Philadelphia, but Philly, Pennsylvania. And these large cities, you go to these singles socials, and there's all sisters. And I was just so disturbed by it year in and year out. So then I thought about, what can I do about it? So myself and Sister Caprica got together and figured out, well, maybe we can have a listen, have a line, because these free, at the time, the conference calls were free. And we
mm-hmm.
thought, oh, well, that would be an idea. It's not costing anybody anything. And you're in the comfort of your own home. You can just listen in and meet people and et cetera. And when you, our theory was we can be a meeting of the minds, that we wouldn't have to know what each other looked like, but we know what each other's minds were like, because we're on the line, this conference call. And, you can't see each other. So that was a plus for us, because we didn't want the physical aspect to get in the way of the
mm-hmm.
mental aspect. So that's how we promoted it. And it was very successful. And, that's all I can say about that. It was just sisters wanting to see more marriages in the community, and that was our idea on how to start, how we got started.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting there, just a little interaction here with you, and then we're going to go to Prince in terms of when he started to listen in, that the majority of those who were unmarried, as they say, singles at that time, that was the name of it. We like to use unmarried here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, because Allah made mates for all of us, and
mm-hmm.
so and He made marriage for all of us. So we just kind of upgraded the term to unmarried. We just unmarried,
mm-hmm.
but Allah does not want us to be single, and He doesn't want
mm-hmm.
us to be an individual or what we think sometimes is independent. We are interdependent because He created us in pairs. So, at that time, we can honestly say that on the MWAI, the Muslim Women Women's Sponsoring,
mm-hmm.
in action, that they, when they sponsored that, it was still mostly women. There were a few brothers that would consistently all the time. You talk about that a little bit, and from what I know, that they made some good contribution in all too.
Certainly,
in
absolutely,
all, yes. Every week.
Mm-hmm. And we had a few brothers that were consistent, and we were disappointed somewhat, but not really, because we felt that the few brothers that were consistent, they would be passing the word, and they did. And every now and then, you have more brothers tuning in, and it was really like a nice little family unit. You know, once people start dialing in, you became connected to them. You know.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Now, Prince, we're going to come back to you, and I would like for you to address, when did you really start listening in to the Muslim Women in Action, as I say, singles line at that time? When did you begin? Was it pretty much after you had an interest in Patricia, or was it before?
Let me say it was a duality, okay? All right. After meeting Patricia and being made aware of the program, okay, I was eager, okay, to listen, because of the objective is about community life, all right? And community life can't really be substantiated, okay, to its max, okay, without, okay, the marriage union coming together between brother and sister, man and woman, all right? And this is what has been advocated in al-Islam, and our noble leaders, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam W.D. Muhammad, radio anhu, may Allah be pleased with them. They both never missed a step encouraging the community to establish family life. So that was the motivation and the key for me, okay? And, you know, I had came across in traveling abroad through our community from different states and et cetera, all right, and seeing so many, okay, down to earth, okay, and righteous women in our community, all right? And we also have a large segment of men, all right? So anything that would bring about encouragement to break through the iceberg, okay, of this snail's pace, I considered, of the marriages taking place, all right, this was a window of opportunity, all right? Without a captain, without a lieutenant, okay, snapping the whip, man, listen, you got to get married, brother or sister. You got to get married, okay? I mean, that public relationship then was excellent for the Nation of Islam, okay, because it gave us, okay, a drive, okay, to fulfill the vision, okay, of al-Islam, okay, of Allah's scriptural knowledge throughout the books. So, you know, like I said, a window opportunity for me to listen in, and then listening to the different people that came on, man, you know, this is where we're supposed to be, communicating with each other.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, finish your statement, because I want to, you know, move it, you know, to the point in terms of looking at your courtship. Go finish your statement, please.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to say that because of the captain and the minister pushing that, okay, it was a protection for the sisters and brothers, okay, to get married, to protect them against violating, okay, the code of al-Islam.
Yeah. No, yeah, the restricted laws, and some of that may not know what weren't in the Nation of Islam. We had the codes that Brother Prince is talking about restricted laws, and you didn't want to violate those laws, and one of them being fornication, the other one being adultery, especially fornication, because if you were not married, and this was two of the requirements for the brothers coming into the Nation of Islam, and especially those young brothers, you know, the first requirement was that you had to get a job, you had to have a stable job where you had income, where you could take care of yourself, and the second thing that was said, brother, you got to get a queen, and that meant that you had to get married. It was no ands, ifs, and buts about that. It was almost like an order. It was an order. So that's what Brother Prince is alluding to. So Brother Prince, we're going to stay right here with you for right now. And in terms of the courtship itself, could you or would you be convey to our radio listening audience in terms of how long the courtship was after Patricia caught your attention? How long was that courtship? And pretty much, if you could convey that, we would appreciate that. And then we'll go to your wife and get her insight in terms of the courtship. Brother Prince.
Okay, well, I had a thing in my mind about 2 years, okay? And when I say 2 years or 3 years, you know, you'd be a bit shook up or, you know, a little fearful about jumping into marriage, okay, like as though you're going to become a prisoner, okay? But I had to come back. I had to come down off my high horse, okay, and say, hey, no, that ain't going to get it. I mean, even though in the Nation we got married, we didn't waste too much time getting married. However, with the transition, there was a little slack given, all right? But it wasn't too long, all right, after me and Patricia met, because what did I do? I wanted to hear her mind, okay? What kind of mind did she really have, okay? Because she looked good, all right? And that's one of the things that you want to be careful of, but you can't go at the body, okay? You have to try to, you know, deal with your mind and my mind as well. So it was a question about me, you know, asking my own self introspection, okay, are you, really ready to get married? And are you really, you know, want to marry that woman and why? So it wasn't too long, you know, she has a better memory on the time span than I do. But,
okay.
Alhamdulillah.
So let's go to your wife and just get her intake in terms of this. So, Sister Patricia, when it came to the worship, how long would you say that you all were in courtship, and somewhat what was the conversation in regards in terms of you two getting to know each other, Sister Patricia?
It wasn't that long. I would say as far as from start to finish, well, not finish, but I mean from start to when we put the period at the end of the sentence, it
yes.
was maybe 5 months.
Okay.
You know, but the thing is, we had the advantage because we had known each other in the community. We both, like you said, he moved from New York to Georgia, so we've been seeing each other around for years.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just like when we go to the convention and we see you, you know, in different places, we see all our beautiful believers, and we have a little connection with them, you know. So we kind of knew each other, and most of our friends were the same. His friends and my friends were the same, mostly. So what I didn't know about him, I was able to ask my friend, and he did the same, vice versa. So, and then, you know, when talking, of course, we talked a lot on the phone. And when we weren't talking, but at the different things that were going on in the community, we were always there. We were seeing each other. So it was no major mystery or anything. Like he just dropped in the earth and I dropped down on earth. We had been seeing each other for quite a while. And knowing a little bit about each other, you know. So.
Yes, Yes. Okay. So about in terms of 5 months. So we're going to stay there with you for a little bit. Sister Patricia, we'll stay there with you a little bit. What is it that you can say to us that you actually became really, really aware that Prince was really, really serious in terms of marriage or any outstanding things in the courtship that he may have said to you? That
his mannerisms. There's his mannerisms, because at my age, what a person says is not going to really mean much.
Okay.
I have to see some action. And his mannerisms, he was very comfortable around me. I could tell that. And he liked my style, and I definitely like his style. And and a lot of things, we have so much in common. And so when you have a lot in common, a lot of that is already out of the way. So then you can concentrate on the bigger things, you know, that you want to live with or you're not going to live with. And so that was a blessing. And when he proposed to me on the air, like you said, you're going to share the phone number, the reference number is 30. When he proposed to me, I just start screaming. All the sisters just start screaming.
We're going to get to that screaming. I listened to it the day and everything, and we're going to get to that screaming part. You would have thought all the sisters that was on there was getting married. They were so happy.
Oh, they were so happy. And then, then I had to come out and confess that I said, I never met a person was as generous as I am. And sure enough, he was as generous as I am. And that was a real big plus to me because I'm very generous. And a person that's kind of frugal and tight, that would have been a clash. But he was just as generous. And we were at one point, not doing it on purpose, but when we would surprise one another, he would give me a bigger surprise, and then I would give him a bigger surprise the next time. And I would, I kind of liked that, and he liked it too. So we just, our personalities just meshed. Of course, I'm not giving an illusion that marriage is not work, but when you have those things, that when you're compatible and you have some of those things out of the way, then you can work with the work that's going to come and be involved and living together.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. We just heard that bell meant that you inadvertently gave one of the ingredients in the true love recipe, which is generosity. We haven't gotten to that yet. We are on five, F, but when we get to E, F, G, generosity is one. So you just said that's why you heard the bell. Let's go to Prince Muhammad. You heard your wife and everything. Prince, I'd like for you to pick this up. You being an attendee listening in to the MWAI, Muslim Women in Action, singles line at that time, the creativity to make that proposal on April the 2nd, 2014. Talk to our radio listening audience. What was going through your mind in terms of your motivation to do it that way as opposed to what is oftentimes in Western society considered the traditional way? Give us some insight there, Prince. I mean, you gave a prince type proposal to a queen at that time, and so the radio listener is going to have to go back. We're going to give you that information how you can do that, but just share with us your motivation here.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum once again to you, Brother Mark Shaheed, and the listening audience. I'm delighted that we have this opportunity to give a little overview, of our coming together and getting married. I believe Allah had, told me to stop procrastinating, okay, and go let the system and let the sister know, all right, that you're serious about this, all right, and would like to get married, okay, and we are also taught, okay, to do things in the opening, okay, or to have witnesses, okay, when we're doing things together, okay, especially single men and single women, but in general. So I said, this would be a good opportunity, all right, to let her know and let the public know and to put myself on the spot, okay, that you're making a proposal about your future life with a wife, all right? And that was, I believe, the driving force with Allah's grace. However, prior to all of this, okay, I remember coming into the nation, all right, and it was made very plain to me, okay, that this is a working community.
All right? Yes.
Men, women, and children, okay, because we're building a nation. All right. And Patricia is a worker.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
Yes.
Because I would, you know, I'd be going throughout the tri-state area, okay, between the, you know, Manhattan, the Bronx, okay, New Jersey, New York. And I would come across her there at one of these events. All right. That's, so I said, wow, that's a plus there. Okay. She's not, you know, just, you know, vegetating in the community. She's trying to help build the nation, help to build the community. So at that time, all right, I said, and this is what the Imam W.D. Muhammad, okay, Radianhu, he didn't miss a step, okay, in trying to establish community life. So that was a big plus in my mind for her. Okay, I said, I don't have to try to force her to make her to come, okay, to intermingle and be with the community, all right? So I was turned on with that. And you know, the rest is, you know, history along those lines.
Well, let me intervene here and because I was aware of some of the things that you actually said in the proposal to her. You were very overt, very candid, if you will, frank, if you will, when you got your opportunity, in all, and just outright just asked her, Patricia, I want to ask you a question, and that question is, will you marry me? And then you said, now before you answer, and this is very important, now before you answer, I want to say to you my reasons for asking you to marry me. And you had a litany of things in terms of your observation. This is one of the things that Karan and myself, we talk about here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and Karan like to use fact-finding. And, you know,
okay,
it's always better that when you can actually observe that person, I mean, the communication has to be good communication with sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency. But the observation is also a plus and needed in that regard, and you had the luxury of doing this. And some of the things that you said, one of the first things that you said is that you were attracted to her mind. You liked her mind in terms of how she thought, and then you went on to say that you saw her as a God-conscious woman. You went on to say that she was a worker. You went on to say that she was a praying believer. All of these things, obviously, you noticed. So we want to stay with you just for a couple of minutes here, Prince. How important is that? And you just said that you didn't want to procrastinate. Allah revealed this to you to be able to see her, to see the real Patricia. you know, in action, if you will, in regards to that. So how important was that, and why did you didn't want her to answer immediately? You had that plan? Was she aware at that time?
No, she was not. She was not aware, all right, but I wanted her to not answer me from her emotions. I didn't want it to be a emotional response, okay, and perhaps because she was really interested in me, all right? But however, if she answered just don't really think it through or hadn't thought it through, she would be responding to her emotional drives, okay? And that could be a lot of times minus the sticking points, okay, to help hold the relationship together. Because when the feeling, disappear, now her real personality or the other side, comes up and she's dissatisfied. So before making a move, and both of us have been around, all right, I wanted her to think it through, because we also instructed to think things through, all right, rather than allow our emotions to overshadow our intelligence.
So that was your objective then, Prince, I take it. That was your objective by letting her know through your observation, not only through the communication with her, but through the observation, what you, but Allah had blessed you to be able to see and notice, and you say those things first before she actually answered, correct?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Let's go to your wife, and I know the radio listeners want to hear from you in terms of how did you feel. You didn't know this was going to happen, not this way. You might have felt that it was coming, but not this way. Talk to us, Patricia, and in terms of how Prince made this proposal to you, and how did you feel in that regard? Did you feel like you was being put on the spot or not?
No, I didn't feel like I was being put on the spot. And when the listening audience hears that playback, they're gonna know how I felt.
So we want to keep
it
secret. They might not be able to tell your holler or scream. Pretty much from the other.
Oh yeah, it was. I thought it was a class act, and so that just put more icing on the cake, because he was already a smooth dresser. And just a smooth person altogether, and of course, who doesn't like that? And then, just to describe it, a friend of ours said he looked in the dictionary for the word. He looked in the dictionary for the word "cool," and all he saw was Prince's name written all over the page. So that tells you he's really smooth, and a really nice dresser. And loves the religion and loves to travel. So, I mean, what else, what else? And so what if he leaves the cap off the toothpaste? you got all those other things. And, he worked, but he's retired now. But, so you had all the ingredients of that a sister would want in a husband as far as having security. Even though I was independent, worked on my work, since a young age, you still want to have security and someone you can depend on.
Yes.
And you know something.
Yes. So something else that I think you had to share with the radio listeners, and one of the things that I want to bring to the forefront, and I love the way you said, you actually alluded to it earlier, but you say that he was a giver and you was a giver, and he wasn't tight. He wasn't stingy.
Not at all.
Not at all.
You actually
stated that in terms of your observation and everything, too, and that security, as you stated.
Yes.
Women want to feel that that security in regards to that. If you have it, want to, but you don't want to give it. And Allah tells us that we should not be stingy and not be hoarders in all of this. So Allah's given us guidance in the Quran. So at this time, I'm going to ask our radio listening audience, if you just tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio. Listen to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we're going to turn it over to Quran Shakir. I know she may have some questions. And our radio listening audience, you may have some questions. So begin to line up. And you can ask questions or make comments to what it is you heard. I think it's a beautiful story. And unfortunately, we won't be able to do the playback here tonight. But as I promised, inshallah, I will give you the call and number to that conference call and give you the reference number, the passcode, and the reference number, and you can listen for yourself, and you may holler or scream, too, after the prince. I call it the prince proposal. The prince So, Quran, back here, you've been listening in? It's all yours.
First, I want to say this is such a beautiful, beautiful narrative and story. When we look at the courtship itself and the beauty of Islamic courtship, alhamdulillah, thank you very much to both of you for joining us and sharing your story. My first question, though, is to Patricia. I may have missed it, but I didn't understand your background.
My background?
Yes. Were you married before, or this is your first marriage?
No, I was married before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so you all have seen one another in the community, and I tried to do a little timeline myself. If both of you were there, and you were in 74, so about 20 years. Is that correct?
Yes.
You all have seen each other? Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Time to win, body. So I say that to our listening audience, too. You know, like, who's in your community that you may be working with and not really paying close attention to that maybe you should? I love it. And so you talked to Sister Patricia about the program you were doing. You talked about the work he was doing. And you talked about the courtship itself. And so I'm wondering, like, because you're both in the same city, I would love to hear more about that actual courtship. I know you said you talked on the phone, but did you all spend time together? And if you did, what did that time look like that you spent with one another?
We spent time together every now and then. It wasn't much. She's asking if we spent time together outside of the community.
Okay, I have to say, my mind seems to virtually be locked in that we'd be going to events quite often, all right? But however, there was, in between, okay, there was a time that we got together, but it didn't supersede, to me, the community company, all right? It's just that it was more personal, more intimate.
Yeah, so we went to a few places. We went to a dinner by ourselves, and we went to definitely went to a lot of plays. We went to New York a lot for different Broadway plays.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
okay, right.
Yeah, okay.
Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like to say this. Okay, and it's a little backtracking. You know, I came out of New York, all right, and I didn't want, and I think also. Doing that proposal on the radio, okay, broadcast, I didn't want the public or the community, okay, or the sisters, okay, that a lot of times had the antennas up, what is he up to? Because I had prior to meeting Pat, okay, prior to meeting her, there was a few sisters that I approached, you know, like in a congenial type of way, and it seemed I picked up big hesitation, like what is he up to, all right? So that threw me a bit, a little tailspin. I said, I got to be more cautious. how I approach these sisters was, I'm thinking that they're saying, oh, here comes this slickster out of New York. Okay? So, yeah, you know, so that that made me withdraw a little bit and hesitate of being cordial and friendly with the sisters. That's it.
That's interesting. That's deep. Family, do you have family, children, friends, and relatives, and all that? That's the both of you.
Oh, yes. Did our family, how was our family involved?
Yes, how did you involve your family?
Oh, we went around our families, and his family, I think they took to me right away, I think. Yeah. And on my side, they took to my husband right away because they kept saying that he looked like my father. And I said, are you serious? I couldn't see it. But, yeah, the family accepted, but on both sides accepted. And I think they were more so happy that we had found each other. That's all. But I think I know in my family, they were just happy that I found someone that that I could admire. And the same on for his family. And we're both in the same religion. You know, we're both sort of close in age. And so I think the families were involved in that way. They were just happy to see that we were happy.
No.
And that was it on my end.
Yeah, no, on my end, mostly my family, okay, are in-laws from my previous marriage, okay? And they are, you know, a large family, all right? And they had no objection, okay, or nothing, okay, to say bad, all right? Everything was, hey, man, Prince, you know, I'm glad for you, all right? And I thought that was a big plus, okay, to have my in-laws from a former marriage being on my cheering squad.
That's right.
Thank you.
That is absolutely wonderful. And I ask that question because, you know, in our religion, you're not just marrying the two people. You are marrying family. And so that is an important thing to consider. And now I just want to turn to our radio listening audience. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. And we have a wonderful couple here with us tonight as we talk about the true love recipe. And our couple is Brother Prince and Sister Patricia Muhammad out of New Jersey. So if you have a question or a comment, it is your opportunity to push one on your phone, and we will bring you into the program. And if you're listening online, join us in studio at 714-816-4673. And, Mark, we're going to go to the lines because we do have someone who's
Oh, yes, go to the lines because I think there's some people out there that know this this outstanding couple and all. And I know they want to ask a question or make a comment. So let's go to our radio listening audience and see what they have on their mind. Correct?
All right. We are going to 601-376. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Your mic is open. What's your name and where you're calling from? You are on the air.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. This is Brother Daryl Muhammad from Jackson, Mississippi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Daryl. Let me say one thing about Prince and the sister. I remember those conference calls. I remember the brother when he even fell over the air when he asked her to marry him. I had an opportunity to meet these beautiful people. It came down to New Medina. We shared, had a nice time. I talked to Brother Prince. I learned a lot from them. I love them. And they are some beautiful, beautiful people. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Daryl. I'm glad to hear from you.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Press one, Brother Daryl, as you go out the queue. And if you have something else, you can come back in, press one, and go out. Any more?
That's it. We can go forward with our true love recipe.
Oh, okay. All right. So, radio listening audience, we do. If you have any questions or comments, you listen to a very, very beautiful marriage narrative. Their proposal is outstanding. I listen to it, and we want to make sure. As a matter of fact, what I'll do now, and I'll do it now, and then do it at the end. Have your your pen and your pad together. This is the MWIA, which is short for the Muslim Women in Action Singles Line. And all those conference calls was archived. And so the call-in number for that would be 605-475-4799. I'm going to repeat that again. The call-in number for the old MWIA, the Muslim Women in Action Conference Line, single line, is 605-475-4799. So the once you call online, then you have to put in the passcode. The passcode is 320772#. Once again, the passcode to get in to retrieve this archive that we're speaking about tonight in Prince Muhammad's proposal to his wife back in the year 2014, Patricia Muhammad, is 320772#. And then it's going to ask you for the reference number. That was many, many recordings, well over 100 or so. So the reference number will be 30. That's an easy number to remember, 3030. So you want to put in 30. That's the reference number. And you just sit back, listen in, pop some popcorn and everything, and just listen in. And I think you will agree with me that it's very innovative, very creative. As the Muslim Women in Action line, they operated with the three I's, and one of them, I know, was innovation, ignition, and I can't, inspiration. I think it was inspiration, innovation, and was the last one. I just said igniting. So a tongue twister there. But it was said that Brother Prince, listening in, he was one of those brothers that was ignited to use his creativity. So that's the number. And we'll give it again before we sign off tonight. So, yes, Quran, we'll go to that. And we'll go to the first one to get that intake. As we said, this is F5 and the True Love Recipe, which is foundational, So we'll ask you to give your insight in terms of foundational. And we'll start with you, Prince, in terms of this ingredient. This is a true love recipe. We're just not talking about Western society love. We're talking about true love recipe. Would this be in your true love foundational? How important or significant would it be if it would be in your true love recipe, if you were being asked, Prince, to give us some qualities and characteristics, and starting with the letter F, would foundational be in there? And if it wouldn't be in there, how would that true love recipe look if there was not foundational in that recipe? Brother Prince, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Patricia.
Oh, that's essential in the foundation,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Because when you're saying the foundation, okay, before you have the foundation, okay, you have to dig up the ground, okay, the earth of Allah, all right? And then after you get your space, all right, then the building blocks for your foundation, you lay that, all right? So that is like a main ingredient,
mm-hmm.
Okay, to drive forward, okay, to the connection of the marriage institution,
Right. Yes.
So that's something that even if you weren't married, okay, you would want to have that kind of quality or that kind of a substance, okay, to be like a GPS, you know, guiding you on your way through Allah's grace. All right. So I think that's appropriate to have.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that insight. So now I come to you, Patricia Muhammad.
Okay.
Foundational.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the have qualities and characteristics. Would that be in your true love recipe, Patricia?
Most death, because now you heard from the hunter and the gatherer who Allah is built to be more thinking universal and outside, you know, global. Now you want to hear. Now you want to hear from the inside, you know, the person that nourishes, and you know, on the inside job. And what I mean by that, a foundation for in the home.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is we want to establish prayer, and you know, and things like that. People may take lightly. Of course, we want to pray. You know, but you know, it's going to have to be a foundation. It's rain, sleep, or snow. We want to get up on time for prayer. You know, these things that are establishing in your home and in establishing in the foundation of your home. You know, and certain things like that, and I could go on, but then that's the most, that's the most important, and because like you said, when the honeymoon is over, all these things have to be in place.
When the honeymoon is over, these things are going to have to be in place, or otherwise it's going to be shaky, shaky, shaky.
You got it. Like you said, the foundation of the house on the outside. And now talking about the foundation of the house on the inside. Both of those go together to keep it from being a shaky situation.
And since we see the moon goes into cycles, all right, so when the honeymoon is over, you know, you want to be in the right cycle.
You got it.
You
want everything that could be smooth as silk, either way.
Yeah, and especially.
That's right, no waxing and waning.
No waxing.
Yeah. You're living together. All right.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Right.
Yeah, that's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love the analogy that you're giving. So both of you are right on point. Now, we want to look at, Karan gave it her insight earlier, you know, in regards to that. But we want to keep it moving because we got four more that we want to get your insight and wisdom on. And the next one I thought would be appropriate. How could you have a true love recipe, in the sacred institution of marriage without being faithful?
Mm-hmm.
How important? Now, this time, we're going to start with you, Patricia Muhammad, in terms of faithful.
Okay.
How would that be, first of all, would that be in your true love recipe? And then if it is, how important is faithfulness being an ingredient in true love?
Yes, I would definitely use it. I think one example could be when things get rocky, you know, and you know, when Shaitan is trying to break up the family, you can't see it. That's what it is at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all it is, you know. Satan trying to get in, has his imps, trying to break up the family bond. Then you have to keep that faith in each other, and just know that this too shall pass, because you know, like the people that's been married for 50, 40 and 50 years to tell you ain't seen nothing yet. When you get over one hurdle, here come another hurdle. But but it only brings you closer together. And so that's where the faithfulness come in. And you don't want to break that, because when the test is over, you want to still be have that bond. You know, you don't want anything to break that.
Alhamdulillah, very well said. Brother Prince, I'm coming to you in terms of faithfulness. How important would that be to you? Would it be in your true love recipe? If you were asked to write a true love recipe and just with letters, I mean, with words that begin with F, would faithful be in there? And if so, why? Prince.
I say because first, each person need to have a knowledge of themselves, okay, about their own personality, okay? And if they have a knowledge of themselves, okay, they could see the importance, okay, of whatever they're doing, especially in faithfulness. And for a character like, or a person like myself, you know, I would say, you know, I have a strong trait of being a flirt, all right, as a conversational piece, but I know that's dangerous, okay, all right. So in a relationship, okay, you have to know when to shut that down, shut that off, okay, because it opens the door or leaves the door wide open, okay, for the shaitanic influence of your own character or your own traits, okay, that you are accustomed to, all right? And a lot of those habits, okay, are ingrained. And if you're not sensitive to them and aware of them, you could find yourself becoming unfaithful. So it's important, all right? As I said, you know, I had a flirting type of personality. Okay, you might justify and say, well, I'm just being congenial, all right? But that congenialness, okay, could put you in the hot seat or a hot spot, all right? So it's important that you can appreciate faith, what faithfulness can mean and what does it mean to you, all right? But, and it's like, you know, it says, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. So if you break that faithfulness, okay, then that means that you're in a contradiction with what you profess.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes, thank you so much, Prince, for that. Quran, you heard the insight that our distinguished guest has given, so I got to come to you. And before I do, I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you tuned in late, you are listening to IBDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed, and our very special guest couple tonight have shared their very intriguing, very substantive marriage narrative with us, Prince and Patricia Muhammad from New Jersey, have graced us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and now they're giving insight and wisdom from their perspective to the qualities and characteristics that we call ingredients in the true love recipe. So we'd like to hear from you also. Press 1. I know that some of you may know them. You don't have to sit quietly. We're just one big family here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. So I know they would love to hear from you, if no more than just giving the greetings, or you may want to share your insight. Would any of these ingredients in my true love recipe, would it be in yours? Quran, do we have any hands in the air? And if not, I would like to ask you, how important is faithful? And would it be in your true love recipe?
Most definitely. Right now, we don't have any hands in the air. But I want to say this about faithful. One, just what they said about having faith. That faith begins with your belief in Allah as the unseen. Yes, and you have faith in Allah, and your faith in Allah guides you, right? So faithful is an adverb that describes, I'm sorry, adjective that describes the person.
Yes.
The person of faith is faithful. And so that faithful aspect in a true loving relationship builds trust. So it's one of those things that goes with the foundation. That person has to have faith in Allah, and then they have to be faithful. And that faith, they are loyal. They have an allegiance to that love and belief in Allah. And that allegiance to Allah guides them then to also protect Allah's marriage, because we believe that marriage belongs to Allah. So in protecting Allah's marriage, then they are faithful inside of that relationship. They show this loyalty to the relationship itself, because they know, as Brother Prince said, that it's dangerous when you don't, because what happens when you betray the trust, then your mate lose faith in you. They don't. They may not lose faith in Allah. They may lose faith in you. And that betrayal, as Brother Prince also so beautifully pointed out, may not be that you're in another relationship, but you have betrayed the allegiance where you have not guarded the sanctity of the marriage itself. So in guarding the sanctity of the marriage, when you go out, you know you're carrying yourself to represent your mate family that you all have established. And so when you go out, you act like all of them are with you. So when you're speaking to somebody, when you're in somebody else's presence, you're representing your mate and the family that you all have established. And that contributes to your loyalty and your faithfulness in that relationship to believe in that. So alhamdulillah, that's my take on it.
So well, alhamdulillah, let me say this, because those that may have just tuned in late, they hear this bell ringing. And those that have been with us, they know why it's ringing, because when Quran used one of the ingredients in the true love recipe, this is my true love recipe. So, you know, of course, when I hear it, I know it, because Allah guided me to construct this true love recipe to really bring home what true love is. Not from a Western perspective, she used several times loyalty. And when we get to L, you'll find that loyalty is one of those ingredients that is organic, is natural, you understand, and is a natural preservative that is imperative, that it helps to sustain and to maintain true love in the recipe. So if you heard that bell ring, and it was not to tell her to stop. It was like, really, you're hitting on some points here in that regard. So very well said, Quran Shakir. Quran, do we have any callers in the queue? You press one if you'd like to add to that. This is my true love recipe. You can add two. It's already F5. You can add to it. And all, Quran?
Yeah, you know, assalamu alaikum. What you said, both of you, okay, as like the keys to life, the life that Allah has given each and every human being, all right? And that cements, okay, the relationship.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And we're going to keep on moving with this. You're doing an excellent job. So we've already covered foundational, faithful, and now this is a biggie. And there's no way I can have a true love recipe without forgiveness.
Hmm.
How important. We're going to stay with you this time, Prince Muhammad, in terms of forgiveness. How important is it to have forgiveness in the true love recipe? And would it be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, how would it look? Could it truly be a true love recipe? Prince Muhammad. Your insight, please.
Alhamdulillah. I'm thankful and glad that you asked that question, because it's so profound of a question, all right, that I read more so now than ever before. I read in the Quran over and over and repeatedly that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is constantly saying, I'm the most forgiving and the most merciful, and I forgive again and again and again. And I look at myself, and I feel something in myself, you know, how do you agree with that, the Prince? Yes, I agree with what Allah says, but I said, but do you emulate that? Do you express that? Do you demonstrate that? Do you exhibit that? And my heart had to tell me, no, there's some shortchanging on you on that. Okay, yes, you forgive. Okay, but how do you forgive those people? Okay, that some part of your brain tell you that they devils. Okay, that they're just a rotten person. Okay, and I have to say, I had to come to this, and this is rather recently, in the last couple of years. I says, Prince, okay, you have to exemplify what Allah says and what he put on the heart of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, you have to relinquish the reluctance, okay, to want to forgive someone, because through your eyes, you just see that they are wicked. I says, you have to look through the lens of Allah and his seal of the prophets, his messenger, Prophet Muhammad. Look through those eyes. And that had caused me to raise above my own feelings.
Yes.
Okay, because my own feelings was blindsiding me from what I was being told and read, follow the guidance of Allah.
Yes.
And that means forgiveness.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Very well said, Brother Prince. Thank you so much for that insight and self-discovery there in regards to you. Now I'm going to go to you, my dear sister, and ask you that same question, Sister Patricia, which is in terms of forgiveness. Would that be an ingredient in your true love recipe, and if so, why would it be? And if not, would it really be true love if you couldn't forgive? Patricia?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you very well.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. That's one of the recipes, as I might say, it just had ought to be. you better have it in your one of your dreams. But my husband put it so eloquently that Allah forgives again and again. You know, so who are we not to forgive? And another thing that comes to mind is sometimes when things something happens, and you have to understand that whatever that person has done to you or whatever the case may be, they're not on your level. They're not on your level in that area. So, of course, you want to feel that they might have done something on purpose or whatever it was, or they should have known better, but they're not on that level. So
yeah.
So you just have to show mercy and say, hey, you know, just move on from that. You know, that's my take on that.
Can I say this, brother? Can I say this, Brother Shahid?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, sir.
Every day we pray to Allah and we ask for forgiveness individually. If it's five times a day or whatever times a day you pray, but I know every day we ask Allah, please forgive us our sins and shortcomings. So how can I continually let my rationale or sentiment refuse, okay, to want to forgive someone else, and I ask for forgiveness? How can I expect Allah to give me forgiveness?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that addendum and I concur 100% with you. And if we don't have any calls, we do invite you to raise your hand. You know, this is your learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is your learning lab. Press 1 if you like to give us some insight in terms of these qualities and characteristics as a part of the true love recipe. If not, Karan, we always look for your insight and wisdom. With forgiveness, be in your true love a recipe, and if so, why? Karan?
I would have said, like Sister Patricia said it, it better be.
Okay, it better be. That sound like a command.
Absolutely, with an exclamation point and another exclamation point and another
exclamation point. Okay.
Absolutely, and I love what Brother Prince said too. You know, like you ask a lot for forgiveness, so why don't you want to forgive? So most definitely, I have a lot to say about this. But let's go to our radio listening audience, and we are going to go to 267-258. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
I think I know who that is. Who are you? Where are you calling in from? Are you from a city that's forgiving?
Yes.
That's showing
brotherly
love and sisterly affection. I know.
Yes. Absolutely. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Yes, and my dear sister Quran, I love all of you so much. Listen, this is hot and heavy. I needed this. This was like so on time. Like just being transparent, like alhamdulillah for this call. Hallelujah. Like they would say hallelujah. I say hallelujah tonight because I needed this. I needed to hear Prince and Pat tonight. I just needed it. And so, and even though, you know, my name is Rahima, alhamdulillah, I carry Allah with the Allah's attribute. And I'm glad I do. I'm really happy I do because it, you know, people call you Rahima, 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 and that works on your character. It works on your personality. It works on your soul. And so I find myself, alhamdulillah, I'm able to forgive. And, you know, alhamdulillah, I was going to express to an audience. I didn't even know what audience it was. But sometimes when you marry into a different culture, you need to be aware of how they are brought up. And when you decide to marry, period, you need to understand how that other person was raised in the person, not just personality of their parents, but the personality of the whole entire family, the characteristics of the whole entire family, and some of the things that went on in their home, that, you know, and so when they come out of the home and move into adulthood and then decide to take on a spouse, some of those characteristics are going to come out in that relationship. So you need to be very understanding. If you marry somebody that's from Jamaica, for instance, or you marry a brother from Kuwait, or you marry somebody from Senegal, you need to understand that culture. And so that's just something I wanted to say tonight. But it's important. It's important, guys. And so mercy is definitely, if you don't have that, you can forget it. Like, you're not going to make it with nobody if you don't show mercy. And first of all, you go to Allah with an island and you ask Allah, Ya Allah, please show me how to show mercy. Show me how to forgive. Please let my soul be at rest with this particular situation and let me address it intelligently so that my spouse will grow from what he does and he'll grow from what he see me do. So I have to be the example of mercy first. See, you want to look for other people to have mercy, but you got to show it first.
No. It don't be alarmed. That you just use one of the qualities and characteristics in the True Love recipe when we get to the letter M. And in the True Love recipe, this is my True Love recipe, you have to have mercy. And actually, really, to be quite honest with you, you really hit on, in terms of when we end the blessed month of Ramadan, the first 10 days is that of mercy that Allah extends to us. The second 10 days in Ramadan is forgiveness. And the third 10 days, if we make it through those first 20 days and we're actually exemplifying that to ourselves, then it becomes a deliverance, the freedom, from the fire of our own passions. And some say the hell fire, but they really don't. As Imam Muhammad, as a student of his, is the really fire that you really have to be concerned about is the fire of your own passion.
And I know we're at the top of the hour, but what Prince was saying, if you don't really truly forgive and you still hold that animosity, and even though you say, oh, well, I forgive them, actions, and you're holding that in your heart, and the angels are recording your thoughts, and Allah Ta'ala says, I know your very thought. And that's what we have to be conscious of. Allah knowing every thought we have, so you might as well talk to Allah about it so you can get it right.
Yes.
Because he already knows. And whatever your thoughts go out into the universe is coming back at you. It's coming back at you. So I love y'all.
I love you too. Thank you so much. For coming to Rahim and with us. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, thank you so much. And just want to just say this here. If you follow that line in terms of Ramadan, it actually becomes the liberation, the freedom, the deliverance from the fire of your own passion. Because if, in fact, you can't show mercy, mercy is a prerequisite to be able to forgive. And so if you don't, you won't be delivered from the fire of your own passion. You actually will burn up. You don't have to wait for the next life. You start burning in this life. I want to say that. All right, Quran, anybody else there before we go to the next one, the F4?
Nope, nobody else there.
Okay, we're going to keep moving. We're moving. We want to try to get it in. So this time I'm going to start with you, Patricia Muhammad. F4 in the True Love recipe is friendship. It's friendship. Mm-hmm. Would friendship be in your True Love recipe, or you don't need to be friends? And if not, how would it look? Patricia Muhammad, talk to us about friendship.
Yes.
Would it be in your recipe?
It would definitely be in the recipe because, again, when the honeymoon is over, you have to be friends. and like I was mentioning, When I noticed that Prince liked to travel a lot, he liked to do a lot of the things that I like to do, then, it was easy for us to be friends. And of course, when the honeymoon came, that put more icing on the cake. But then we're still friends when that phase is over. So you have to bear that in mind, that if you like to do some of the same things and you're on the same page, it is so important. Because that holds you. There's some of the, it's part of the glue that holds, like 20, 30 years down the line.
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, thank you so much. And we up against the wall in terms of time. So, Prince, I'm gonna ask you to be very succinct. If you can do it in about a minute and a half, we can get to that last F, which is fun, and we're gonna try to have a little fun with fun. Prince, with friendship, be a part of the truth. Recipe. Take a minute and a half, Prince, to give you some insight.
Yes, the friendship is important because you're still married, okay, but you're not in a straitjacket as far as the levels, okay, of your personalities, all right? So, but if you're friends, okay, sometimes your love or marriage relationship, okay, you won't tell, okay, your wife or your husband, hey, listen, you got to do better than that, okay? a friend a lot of times is not restricted, okay, and will say, listen, that ain't right what you're doing. And, you know, listen, your breath stink. You need to do something about that, okay? All right? So that friendship, okay, is that friendship is important. And like even before you go to bed, you all had an argument. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said we shouldn't go to bed and have that kind of resentment through an argument. We should act like, we're friends and we're married, okay? But we want to keep it healthy. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that insight in terms of friendship. So a friend is always going to be honest with you. Quran, can you give us something real quick in terms of friendship? Would it be in your recipe, your true love recipe, Quran? How important is it?
Absolutely. And, you know, when we think about the relationship between Prophet Ibrahim and Allah, he was a friend of Allah. And so when you think about that kind of relationship, as the brother said, with your friend, you can be transparent, you can be honest, you can be above board, and you can do the next F, have fun together.
Oh, okay. So the next F is fun, and we're going to have fun with this here, because with this ingredient, when I do, you know, seminars in terms of the true love recipe, I'm going to ask both of you in terms of fun. I'm going to ask you to give me the amount. Would fun be for you a teaspoon, a tablespoon, a half a cup, or a full cup? I'm going to start with you, Prince Muhammad.
Okay.
Would fun, first of all, be in your true love recipe? Should fun be in the true love recipe? But would it be for you a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, full cup? One minute to answer that.
I'll go with 3/4 of the cup, and I'll get the other quarter, okay, when we reach that level, all right? Because the fun and the friend, okay, can enjoy life and won't be in a straitjacket.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Okay, Patricia? Would fun be in the true love recipe or not? And if so, would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, full cup? Fun.
I would say a half a cup. And you know, when we look at the recreation, we think of fun as being some type of recreation. And then when you look at that word, recreate. So when you're having fun, sometimes you're recreating yourself, and that's good, because you're not being stagnated, and although you have fun, but then you come back to seriousness, and you just balance it out. But fun, it needs to be in the picture, I think. It needs to be in the ingredient.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that. Quran, with fun
yes,
being... Quran, would it be in your true love recipe? Quran, would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, or full cup of fun?
Quran?
Absolutely. Yes. You know, for me, fun is fun. And I'm a card player, so I'm going to say it like this. I'm a card player. And when I'm playing cards with my family, I say to them, y'all, even when I'm losing, I'm having fun. So it is not about just winning all the time. It is about finding the joy in one another and finding the opportunity to find so much good in something. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
That is fun.
Alhamdulillah. Now I want a special guest couple tonight. 30 seconds apiece. What would you like to leave with our radio listening audience? And since I started with Patricia Muhammad first, I'm going to give you the honor, Prince Muhammad, to be first this time. What would you like to leave with the radio listening audience as we get, ready to close down this section of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab? 30 seconds, if you will, Prince.
Okay. So ask Allah okay, to and allow you to, okay, to have more confidence in him, okay, and ask Allah and ask yourself to establish, to work towards establishing a loving relationship with Allah and his messenger.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Very well done. And now to you, Patricia Muhammad, you got 30 seconds. What parting remarks would you like to leave with the IWDM radio listening audience?
Mine is short. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Okay. Lama Akbar, thank you. Thank you so much. And I know Quran, you know, she thank you. I thank you for coming on short notice, but you've done an outstanding job in terms of sharing your marriage narrative with us and the great insight and wisdom that you shared on F5 and the True Love Recipe and everything. What I want to do at this time is to give that information once again before I turn it over to Quran Shakir to give the information in terms of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, how they can stay in touch with us. So this prince-like proposal, and I said prince-like proposal, not in a joking way, but in a very serious way, you can retrieve that in the archives of the Muslim Women in Action Singles Line. That was the name of it at that time, all the way back in 2014, April the 2nd, 2014, when that proposal came through. All you have to do is dial 605-475-4799. Once again, 605-475-4799. Then you have to put in what is called the access code. The access code is 320772#. Once again, the access code to get in is 320772#. Then it's going to ask you for the reference number. You just can't press pound there because there's well over 100 or so recordings. The code for that is 30, just the number 30. You just press 30, and then it will take you to that proposal that we've been talking about. I think you really, really would enjoy. Pop your little popcorn, have your favorite little drink and everything. Sit back and listen and all. And then we do invite you next week. You can tune in and you can share what it is that you thought of that prince-like proposal. So with this being said, we're going to turn it over to Quran Shakir, and she'll give you information how you can stay in touch with the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Quran? Maybe she's on mute. Quran, can you hear me?
Yes, I was just going to town. I got to start.
You
got to
start all over again.
I know. I want to thank Brother Prince and Sister Patricia for being our guest. You have been a wonderful guest, sharing wonderful pearls with us. And so thank you so very much for joining us. Thank you, Mark, for all that you do. And to our listening audience, thank you for being a part of our audience. Thank you for going with us. Thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. We pray that you have benefited from our learning lab. And if you did, you know what I like to tell you. Please tell a friend. And also, please like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. We are Bring It to the Lab. We ask you to stay connected with us. If you have questions or comments, share it on social media. And you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, and that means that the praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost always. I also want to echo the sentiment that Quran Shakir just shared with you. I want to thank our radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio A special thanks go to them. A special thanks go to Karan Shakir. Very insightful wisdom that she shares each and every Thursday here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And a special, special, special thanks go to our very distinguished, esteemed guests, Prince and Patricia Muhammad, for sharing their time with us, sharing their marriage narrative with us, and giving us great insight and wisdom in what we call the True Love Recipe, and featuring on F5. Your homework assignment next week, so after F, it is G, and it's G3. It is God consciousness, it is gratefulness, and it is generosity. Those are the three that you need to be focused on. We would love to have some participation in the Learning Lab by you, our radio listening audience. We'll be looking to have another very distinguished, esteemed couple that'll be all sharing their marriage narrative. So the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. It's tomorrow. It's Salatu Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about. They can come back here to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, for Salatu Jumu'ah starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Sound familiar? Words Make People can be heard each and every Sunday afternoon with the distinguished Imam Mikhail Sahir. That happens each and every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. Yeah, he hosts a show called ABC. That stands for Al-Islam-Based Conversation, and it's relatively a new show. I know he would love to have you in and engage you in conversation, and it's Al-Islam-Based. It's each and every Monday evening starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it is 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, and his returning guest, host, instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the science of your health in you. This learning lab, you have to bring a pen and pad, a lot of great information on the science of your health in you. It begins each and every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. On Wednesday, it is the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed host, and that is Dr. Patricia Slaudeen, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, here. And it starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And it's followed by the MGM Muslim Global Message Roundtable that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and that's each and every Wednesday evening starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 7 p.m. Central, and it's 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. We always like to invite very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community, and you just heard it live here tonight. The Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Karan Shakir and Mark Shaheed, and that happens each and every Thursday night starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, is 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. We own the True Love Recipe. Think about G3. Think about God consciousness. Think about gratefulness. And also think about generosity. Would that be in your true love recipe? And we look to have another outstanding couple that will be sharing their marriage narrative. Once again, thank you to all. And so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.